So there was this anime called The Tatami Galaxy that I finished recently that was really, I really liked it. And I think more so the message, the anime itself, look, it was very unique, it was very artistic, and the dialogue was very fast to the point where my mind couldn't keep up sometimes, and I'm like, fuck, wow, this is work, man, getting through this. But man, I'm glad I did, 'cause I at the end, man, the message was quite life-changing, actually, especially because I was going through a period that was very relatable to the main character, and watching it helped me kind of get my fucking life together. So, if you were after a life-changing anime, potentially this is it for you. So, let me explain without teasing you anymore about what it is. So, essentially, in the anime, the main character, the protagonist, he starts university and he's like, well, I want a rose-colored campus life, is what he says, which basically means, well, he just wants a really good time in his 2 years, I believe, at university. And you know, like, he wants to have the friends, go to the clubs, and more specifically meet a raven-haired girl or something. But it's just like he just wants a girlfriend, essentially, right? So then he's like, okay, well, how can I get amongst this experience? And he goes to different circles, as they call it in Japan, but essentially it's like school clubs. Not like nightclubs, but like activity clubs. So he first, in the, well, okay, by the way, this is gonna be major fucking spoilers for everything about the show. So if you want to watch the show and you don't want it spoiled completely to the fucking apex, maybe you want to stop listening. But alas, if you just want a philosophical lesson, here you go. He, in the first year, he joins a tennis club. And, you know, he tries his best. But ultimately, at the end of the 2 years, he was like, ah, fuck, I fucked up because of this guy and these situations. Well, his best friend, well, what you find out later, his best friend, his name is Oz or Ozu. You know, he was like, oh, I'm just gonna call him Oz because it sounds better. Oz ruined everything because he was this and that. He was so mischievous and these guys and these people, blah, 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 right? And he was like, man, I wish if I could go back in time, I would choose a different club and give it a shot. And actually, what happens at the end of the episode, time gets rewinded back exactly to where he wanted. And the second episode goes to him joining another circle, this time the movie circle. And then, you know, at the end of that 2 years, again, he says the same thing. Oh, I wish I could have chosen another club because this club was shitty because of the president and Oz and et cetera, et cetera. And basically, for like 8 episodes, it's this same pattern where he joins a different club and he fucks it up, or he feels like, well, he doesn't. Well, you know, he doesn't really fuck it up, but he feels like he did, and he doesn't enjoy the experience. So then he goes back in time and tries a different thing, only to realize nothing really. You know, he always doesn't enjoy it. So then I think by the 9th episode, oh, by the way, every time he goes back in time, it's not like he remembers. It's like a parallel reality version of him. It's like a multiverse kind of thing. So then in the 9th episode, in this version of the multiverse of him, of the protagonist, who doesn't actually have a name, well, people call him Watashi, but you can just, which means I in Japanese, but I just say protagonist, Shujinko. In this reality, he doesn't choose any clubs, because he was like, fuck the clubs, this is all an illusion, this rose-colored campus life, it's not real. For some reason, in this reality, he's just very pessimistic, so he doesn't join any clubs, and he just stays in this room. His room being a room filled with 4.5 tatami mats, which is like a Japanese mat. And he just kind of holds himself up there, and I think he just studies, and you know, he's a bit of a hermit, right? And then at the end of 2 years, you know, obviously he's pretty depressed, right? I don't fully remember. I don't know if he actually says he regrets it, but essentially, let's say after 2 years, he tries to leave his room, right? Like, about fucking time. His dirty fucking room. But then this really weird fucking actual multiverse matrix, fifth dimension, and interstellar thing happens where when he opens the room to go outside, the door doesn't lead to the corridor, the hallway. It actually leads back into his own room. Kind of like that scene in The Matrix in the tunnel where Neo keeps running towards one end of the tunnel, but then it just goes back up to the same tunnel, right? Kind of like a wormhole kind of situation. And he's like, what the fuck, right? Obviously. And he, so he goes into that new room, and then he exits the door of that new room, only to find it leads to another room. And, well, as you may guess, like, what, he can't escape, right? Every time he leaves a room, it just goes into another room, the same room of his room. And, you know, eventually he, like, breaks down a wall to get to other rooms, hoping to escape, but he can't. But then eventually what he realizes is that even though all of these rooms are his room and they look the same, they are actually all slightly different. Like, the books might be slightly different, or there might be different objects, or, you know, sometimes it's like vastly different. Vastly different. Vastly different. Vastly. Vastly different. And what he realizes is that, holy fuck, all of these rooms are my rooms. They're all different versions of me, you know, in different universes. And now he's in this kind of, like, overmind, overmind perspective, where he can see all the different possibilities he could have had in his life. And from this, like, outside perspective, right? And from his current perspective now, being this overmind, he realizes that, well, maybe... No, actually, well, I mean, the first thing he realizes was like, wow, oh my god, all of these lives seem to be brimming with so much life. Like, there was so much fucking activity. Like, you know, this guy doing this thing, and there's all of these objects, and these memories, and etc., etc. And while, I mean, I don't know if he realizes this immediately, but the whole kind of message at that point was like, while maybe he thought in the, you know, in the parallel realities that he thought that his life, his campus life was ruined in the 2 years because he chose this club and because of these people, while he feels like it might have been ruined, now him looking at it from an outside perspective, he realizes, holy fuck, there's actually a lot of cool memories. Like, I did a lot of cool shit, and, you know, all the trials and tribulations and all the silly little mishaps and the shittiness and the, you know, the, misfortunes or whatever, like, looking back or looking at it now from his perspective, it's all fucking beautiful in a way. Like, it's all, god, it sounded really cheesy, but, like, it's all valid, and it's all, no, it is beautiful. Like, it's life, you know, it's life in all its form and in all of its colors. And now him realizing that, he's like, fuck, no, you know, life is good. Life isn't just going to be shitty. Life isn't just going to be this pessimistic piece of shit disappointment. No, life is kind of what you make of it in a way, right? And if anything, and this is kind of like the big fat fucking message of the anime, is that it's because he was so attached to this idea of an ideal campus life that he felt like, oh, if it doesn't go out this way, then it's all shit. Like, he was so attached to an outcome that he wasn't able, that he couldn't appreciate everything that happened, everything in the present, everything, every moment that was happening and happening and happening. They all had merit in its own way, but because he was so attached to a fixed outcome in the future, he couldn't appreciate the present at all in the whole 2 years. That's why at the end of the whole 2 years, he felt like it was all for wasted, and it's not because objectively it was all shit. It was simply because of his own perspective that he couldn't find any gratitude or appreciation for the present fucking moment. And he was so wrapped up in this external event of the future that doesn't actually exist and only is a fantasy, or even you could call it a delusion in his head. And there was a Reddit post quoting Buddha that was saying, you know, the root of suffering is attachment. And he was saying how this really sums up this whole philosophy of this anime, and I completely agree. He also said, there was another quote he quoted that I don't necessarily agree with, which is like two desires to suffer, right? And I guess I'm slightly I am disagreeing with Buddhism on that quote anyway at this stage, where I don't think desire is suffering, but you know, to go back to the first quote, to desire with attachment is suffering. Like, it's like, by all means, if you want a good life, you want to have that girlfriend, you want to have a rose-colored campus life, like, by all fucking means, go for it. Like, you have every right to focus in and go towards exactly what you want. But if you go towards it with attachment, that's when shit could hit the fan and you could suffer. Because the moment you start attaching to the outcome, you begin losing appreciation for what you have, you know? Like, you focus on what you don't have rather than focus on what you do have. And of course, what you focus on becomes more manifested and amplified in your reality, you know? And I think that's just such a beautiful message. And, you know, another big thing that I took away from this whole anime is that no matter what it is you do in your life, just fucking full send that shit. Just full send it. Just do it absolutely to the best of your ability as much as you can, you know, until you can't anymore, you don't want to. Kind of like what Bashar says about following your excitement. And that's it. Like, that's the fucking journey. Like, that's the reward, you know? Like, having that desire, that outcome, that vision, that destination, that creates the journey. And by all means, like, try and get there as much as you can, but don't be attached to getting it. Don't, you know, don't be like, well, because I didn't reach the destination or the completely fantasized, idealized state of outcome, therefore the whole entire journey is invalid. Like, no, not at all. And, you know, there's that cheesy quote of, like, it's the real reward is the friends we make along the way, and the experiences, and then the memories. And I, you know, and as cheesy as it is, it's like, you know, it's not the journey. It's not the destination. It's the journey. Like, 100%. That is what it is, you know? And it's like, if we're able to realize, in fact, that these outcomes are just a way for us to have a wonderful journey. I mean, that is what life is essentially, right? The outcome being perhaps transcendence or death, we know that it will come. But regardless, it doesn't mean we can't enjoy the process of it. You know, that is, I think, so important. It makes you able to, it allows you to appreciate and enjoy every moment more. And it's like, well, if life is just made out of moments at the end of the day, and if every single moment you can fully be present and full send the moment, and just be there rather than thinking about, oh, is this the right choice? Or is there something better? Oh, is, you know, or just like fucking overthinking all the possibilities that could go wrong, right? You know, just being depressed or anxious in general when you don't really need to, you know, not to say that those are bad states to be in or anything. It's, you know, very valid and healing and important. But, you know, to really be there and to experience it and to soak it all up, to really milk every single moment, then, well, like, fuck me, by the gods, you know, at the end of the life you have, if all your moments are, like, this maximized and milked and brimming with presence and golden light, then wouldn't you say that is the best life you could possibly have, right? It's like, you know, the frames of a movie, you know, if every single frame is, like, fucking perfect and amazing, then, and a movie is made out of frames, you know, if maybe this is a bit of a crude analogy, then the movie would be very perfect, would be very good, you know? Or let's say the bricks that make up a house, like, if every single brick is really good and you lay it really well, and you build it really well, as much as you can, I suppose, then maybe you have a really good house. I don't know. You know, I think, yeah, it's not the perfect analogy, I suppose, but I hope you get the point. Yeah, and actually, to go back to the anime, as I was saying, he really wanted this, like, raven-haired girl, this, like, idealized girlfriend, right? And actually, there was every single time, you know, in each of his realities, there was a girl in his life. It was a underclassman that actually thought he was quite kind of cool. But I think he was so, you know, and, you know, they were like, they had a good connection and they were buddy buddies and stuff like that. Well, to a certain extent. But I think he was so fixated on chasing something better than her. Even though she was really great, I thought she was a really cool, funny, cute character that I really liked. Anyways, he was so fixated on something outside of him, on like another, you know, it's like, you know, he was chasing an illusion. Like, even if the illusion came to reality, almost like, he wouldn't want it, because he wanted something maybe that was actually not real, in a way. Well, kind of. I guess it was this one girl that he was chasing that ended up being Oz's girlfriend. So kind of, but anyways, like, the person that, you know, as a viewer, you might see that would have been perfect for him was this underclassman, Akashi, that, that he was friends with. And, you know, in each episode, there's always a fortune teller telling him that the opportunity that he wants is always dangling in front of him. And in his room, there's this kind of little plushy, squishy toy that is always dangling on a ceiling. And it's actually one of Akashi's toys that she lost, that she was trying to find. And it's like, if only he could actually focus on the present rather than always escaping into the future, would he realize, oh, now that I'm lying down in my room, the thing that's dangling in front of me is Akashi's toy. And if I were to return this to her and, you know, develop a connection, a relationship with her, maybe I can actually have this, like, idealized, beautiful campus life that I wanted. And ultimately, he never realized that until, you know, he kind of went into that multiverse version of himself where he saw his saw his life and all of its possibilities, and how actually amazing it is if you actually view it from that perspective and have grace in every moment. He finally, and that's, you know, upon that realization, he escapes his room, and he finds Oz, who he found is really fucking annoying in all of the possibilities, but actually Oz was like his best friend that was always with him, and he kind of instigated a lot of, you know, mischief, but because of that mischief, he actually had a semblance of a life. In any of his possibilities, it's like, I think without Oz, it would have been way boringer and drab. But with Oz being there, being the little trickster that he is, actually, you know, while maybe he was annoying at times, Oz helped him a lot more than he took that he was aware of. You know, he took Oz for granted. So, you know, escaping his room, he finds Oz, he, like, embraces him, hugs him, really helps him out, and he's like, you know, I really appreciate you, and it's really fucking beautiful at the end. Yeah, and of course, he finds Akashi and gives her back her little plushie and asks her to go to Neko Ramen, which is a place they've, you know, they always talk about going in. Yeah, it was really cute, and she was like, oh, for some reason, I feel like I was meant to be, I was waiting for you to ask me this whole time, and it was just like, oh, it was so delightful, and, yeah, the anime wraps up a lot of different things. Like, it's a really fast-paced anime, and you don't really get a lot of what's happening until you watch the later episodes. It's one of those kind of things. Like, it's non-linear in terms of your comprehension of it, which I think, you know, it's very artistic and well done in that sense. But, you know, it's not for everyone, because it is a bit of a mindfuck. but yeah, let me wrap this up somehow. In the end, he kind of finds, he finds appreciation and gratitude for his life. Like, regardless of what mischief might happen in your life, like, that's always going to be there, right? You can't expect life to just be this, like, perfect, serene thing. Like, inherently, we don't come here for that, I believe. But regardless, but it's like, you have to have the darkness in order to have the light, right? Whereas he was only focusing on light and condemning the darkness. But now, like, at this point, after seeing his multiverse, he realizes, despite the darkness, actually, if anything, all the little silly things that happened to me, that's actually what made life great. That's actually what gave me all the memories and the challenges and the growth. And that's what makes life meaningful and fulfilling and beautiful and something worth being in this whole time. And, you know, after that, he became an enlightened monk and transcended to the Pleroma kind of thing. Well, no, but you get my point. Like, then I think at that point on, he was way able to appreciate life and approach it from a way more graceful, grateful. What's the word I'm looking for? You get my point. Like, appreciative, loving, perspective, optimistic perspective. And he had a lot of fun and really loved the people around him, even though in the past he would always criticize them, right? So, you know, bringing that back into our lives, maybe the final message I can give you is to, look, just choose a thing. Like, you'll never know if you're going to make the right decision. Like, you'll never fucking know. But whatever decision you make, fucking own that decision, full send that decision, and just fucking go for it. And don't doubt if this is the right thing, da-da-da-da-da. Because, like, doubting, you know, and second-guessing and stuff like that, like, it doesn't change anything. Ultimately, it doesn't change the reality. And if anything, it just attracts you away from the moment. Like, having said that, maybe, let's say you make a decision and you suffer. It's not that the decision is wrong, but the suffering is equally valid. You know, it's like if you condemn the suffering, then you make the decision to be wrong. It's like you full send that choice that you made. If it turns out you gain suffering from it, well, maybe you were attached in the first place, or, you know, maybe you just simply need the suffering in order to learn a lesson that you needed to learn in order for you to grow, right? So whatever it is you choose, full send that thing. Don't look back. Just don't doubt. Just send. Do the fucking thing. Live life as maximally in the moment as you can. You know, enjoy every moment as much as you can. The world ends and begins with you. As Kat says, and the world ends with you in the game. Which is another game, another thing I really like. And I think if you live life like that, you would live a really good life. And, you know, from ever since I finished that anime, I've been trying my best to live like that as well. And I hope if you find this message helpful or inspirational, that you can also dial into your moments more. You know, have a goal. By all fucking means, have a goal you really want to aim for. But don't attach yourself to it as much as you can. And just fucking focus in it, go for it as much as you can, and just have fun along the journey. And then appreciate every little thing, or every little good thing, every little bad thing, or silly, mischievous thing that might come. And just do your best living your life like that. And I think if we all could, we would be living amazingly beautiful, harmonious, divine, inner child embracing, truthful, authentic, soothing, smooth, moist, relaxing, well, not relaxing, but like a serene, creamy, lubricated lives. I hope that's enough adjectives to paint you a picture. Alas, I wish you well, and goodbye, and I love you.